This is Brevard's Praise and Worship Station. WMIE, Coco, Melbourne, Titusville, FM 91.5.
We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And good Monday to you, Brevard County. Thanks for joining us here on the Refresh radio program. We pray that you are having a wonderful, fantastic, awesome day. We are officially now into the fall season. And I know people up north are advertising, you know, leaves changing colors, and come up and see the pretty colors before the leaves fall on the ground. And my wife and I had gone up north just about a month ago, and she saw leaves like we don't have on trees down here. There are different types of trees in that area, and some of them had already started turning colors, and so she wanted to pick up some of those that had fallen to the ground already. And so, you know, for me, that just means my electric bill will go down, and with cooler temperatures, and for that we are always thankful. So thanks for joining us here on the Refresh radio program. We're going to spend the next half hour with you talking about the Word of God. We're going to be returning to Psalm chapter 50 and picking up on Friday's program. We did verses 16 and 17. I'm going to go back and revisit those for just a moment, but I want to come at it from a different direction than what I did on Friday as I was preparing this morning to come in. I just felt led in my spirit that, you know, let's look at the other side of that coin. And so, verse 16 talks about God's speech to the wicked, and we're going to flip that over and see, you know, what that looks like for the righteous today. But I want to say thank you today to the folks of Jits Concrete. 321-536-5804 is the way that you can get in touch with them. And, you know, you might have some projects that you are looking at, and I will tell you, there's a learning curve. You know, to a large extent, we've become a much more do-it-yourself type society than what we used to be when it comes to trying to tackle some things around the house and things like that. But there's a learning curve, and when you're dealing with concrete, it's not like there's an eraser on the end of a pencil that says, oops, I messed up, I can just erase that and go back. When you're dealing with concrete, if you make a mistake, that's going to be a timely and expensive mistake. So I always recommend that you use people who know what they're doing, people who've got decades of experience, have expertise in the field, knowing the materials, the code, the standards, the resources, how to get in touch with them. Those are all things that are characteristic of Jits Concrete. They also have a tremendous work ethic. They're not looking to exploit you, but instead they want to come in, do a great job at a fair price, and then they want to get out of your way so you can move on with your project and bring it to completion. Jits Concrete, 321-536-5804. They've been part of Merritt Assembly of God as a family longer than I have, and we are thankful for their love of Jesus and thankful for their friendship and support of the Refresh radio program. They may be a great resource for you to call, 321-536-5804. So, to Psalm 50 we go. As I was talking about this passage on Friday, I was talking about that the shepherd deals with sheep differently than he deals with wolves. And in verse number 16, God begins to speak to people who are, their hearts aren't right, and yet culturally they have a history of believing the promises of God still applied to them. And so it says, but to the wicked God says, what right have you to declare my statutes or take my covenant in your mouth, seeing you hate instruction and cast my words behind you? When you saw a thief, you consented with him, and have been a partaker with adulterers. You give your mouth to evil, and your tongue frames deceit. You sit and speak against your brother, and slander your own mother's son. These things you have done, and I kept silent. You thought I was altogether like you, but I will rebuke you and set them in order before your eyes. Now consider this, you who forget God, lest I tear you in pieces and let the, and there be none to deliver. Whoever offers praise glorifies me. And to him who orders his conduct aright, I will show the salvation of God. So the first thing before I flip the script is I wanted to share with you that this passage of Scripture, the Holy Spirit speaking through the psalmist, is a tremendous indicator of God's great love for people who have thus far rejected him. And a lot of times, if people are upset with someone, they give them the silent treatment. And God here is proactive in pointing out conduct that is displeasing in his sight and unbecoming of his people. And he speaks out not to wipe them out, but instead as a manner of warning. So in verse number 22, he says, now consider this, you who forget God, lest I tear you in pieces. It is God's great mercy that is reaching out to rebellious and sinful people so that they can change their conduct. So it's not God saying, man, I'm just sitting up here, I'm waiting for the alarm clock. My wife has this alarm that she has set on her phone of a morning. And there's two of them. And those alarms are not for when she wakes up. It's the alarms to let her know. The first one says, you need to be out the door in 10 minutes. And the other one says, you need to be out the door. And so God is speaking to people who are not pleasing in his sight in a manner that says, look, I have provided resolution to sinful behavior. I need you to embrace it. So I want to take this verse number 16 and 17, and even though it's addressed to people who are described as wicked by God, and if God calls you wicked, you're wicked. You're morally bad. You're morally evil. You're wicked. There's no debate about it. There's no redefining the terms or no new labeling that's going to be able to change the condition. You need to change your heart before God. So I want to look at this as what does this passage indicate that is possible for people who are holy and righteous and pleasing in God's sight? Well, that first of all, in verse number 16, it means that we have the ability to hear God speaking from his word, speaking in prayer. I don't believe that God has stopped speaking direction to his people. I believe that he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He wanted to be the focal point of Israel. He wants to be the center of our lives as well. And so he says that if the wicked do not have the right to declare God's statutes, we, the people who are pleasing and acceptable in his sight, have the ability to speak forth the commandments of God. Say, look, he's not just God, he's my God. We talked about that in Psalm 43. And so I pray that as you are walking in your daily lifestyle, that your relationship with the Word of God would not be limited to just one day a week or 1 hour of one day out of the week, but you would fall in love with the statutes of God, the Word of God, and that his word would fill my mouth and his word would fill your mouth. The second is, he says, the wicked do not have the right to take his covenant into their mouths. Well, if we have asked him to forgive us our sins and be the Lord of our life, we are walking in covenant with God. And so whenever we are faced with adversity, we should avail ourselves of the privilege like the Gibeonites did when they had entered into a covenant relationship with Israel when they came out of Egypt. They did it in deception, but the covenant was still binding. And so when the Gibeonites came under attack, you know, Israel could have said, oh, well, too bad, so sad. Wish y'all hadn't lied to us. But the truth of the matter is, if you were walking in covenant with someone and they did not come to your defense when you were under attack, then God held them responsible for that ally's demise. So you and I was having this conversation with someone at church, and they said, you know, I don't believe many Christians in America, in modern America, have an adequate appreciation for covenant lifestyle with God. A lot of us treat our relationship with God as convenient. So, because I'm in covenant with my wife, it's not just a contract. It's a covenant. You know, a contract has loopholes. It has, okay, if you don't do this, this is what I get to walk away with. People in covenant fight for their relationship. They don't fight against it. And so when we are under attack, we can appeal to heaven. When we are under attack spiritually, there are promises that God has made to his covenant people that we can claim. In fact, there are some people who refer to the two divisions in the Bible that are generally known as the Old Testament, the 39 books, and the New Testament, the 27 books, as the Old Covenant and the New Covenant. The Old Covenant was the commandments of God written on tablets of stone. The New Covenant is the commandments of God written on the tablets of our heart. In other words, our heart is fully involved, and anything that we are incapable of doing, Jesus is more than capable of making up for that. So I saw a little bit of a podcast, and there was a little clip, and this person said that at one point in time, they had lived their life. This was a preacher's child, and that they had got to the place where they believed a distortion of the word, that God's grace allowed them to live any way that they wanted to, and God was just going to overlook it. And so they had embraced that grace gave them license to sin. And in this podcast, they were telling their dad, then it suddenly dawned on me that you had always said grace is not a license to sin. Grace gives us the power so that we don't have to sin. So there's, you know, a tremendous distinction many times between the lifestyle and the understanding that many people in God's household have of the Word and what God really wants for the Word. So if you are walking in covenant relationship with God, if you love Him with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your strength, He loves you with everything He's got as well. He offered you Jesus, the best of heaven, and He will not withhold any good thing from His people. He is a rewarder of those that diligently seek Him eternally as well as here in this world. And so we do have the right when we are under attack to make a call on the hotline to heaven and say, God, we remember the covenant we have with You. And we don't just want to call You in case of emergency. We're calling You on a regular basis. We want to have a relationship of love with You, not just a relationship of rescue. So the third thing that I would flip the script on this is seeing you hate instruction is what He said to the wicked. To the righteous, we could see that we have a love for God to teach us. So through the years, I have heard a lot of people in the charismatic camp and the Pentecostal camp, and they would go to the book of Exodus when Moses was up on the mountain of God, and he was up there having a discussion with God, and He says, God, show me Your glory. And then God has His goodness pass by. And so there's a lot of people say, God, show me Your glory. Show me Your glory. And I always like to bring up when we're discussing that passage, that before Moses prayed that prayer, he said, God, teach me Your ways. So if, you know, Moses is one of the most renowned people in Jewish history. He is one of the most renowned men of faith in Christianity. A lot of people know of Moses. And, you know, we think about his encounter at the burning bush and his encounter with Pharaoh and the plagues and all of that. But at the core of Moses' existence, having learned the Hebrew history from his mother while she was nursing him and getting paid by Pharaoh's daughter, I believe it was. So she is not only feeding and meeting his physical needs, but she's sharing with him his true identity and who he really is and the culture and the promises. But he was also raised in Pharaoh's household, and so he was trained in the wisdom of Egypt. He was trained in the culture of Egypt. And so there are these two conflicting cultures that are going on. And then he has an encounter with God after, you know, he had tried to handle matters in his own way and then, you know, was a pursued criminal, a murderer because of that. By the time he gets to the mountain, he said, I understand the culture of both Egypt and Abraham, but God, what I really need is I need You to teach me Your ways, the ways of heaven. And So we think of this very authoritative, very powerful person, but he was also a teachable person. He loved learning in God's classroom. So you and I, we ought to have a passion for learning the things of God. And here it says in Psalm 50, verse number 17, it says, "And you cast my words behind you." You cast my words behind you. As believers, now that passage is written to the wicked. So we flip the coin over and see what is it that God is looking for in believers, and that is that it's not the word behind us and we're putting more and more distance between us and the word, which is what goes on in society a lot of times, but instead it is the word before us and we are running to the word. So I know a lot of people who were what I call professional sinners. You know, there are some people who and I'm not comparing. I'm using word picture language here, okay? If you violated one area of the law, you're guilty of all of that, and so all of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. That means that all of us were sinners in need of a Savior. So I want you to understand that. But there were some people who were casual about their sin, and there were people who were pursuing sin, pedal to the metal, going as fast as they can, as hard as they can. And like Paul, Jesus intervenes in their life, transforms them radically. And this is what I say. That's not the end of the journey. That's the starting point. And from that point forward, God blesses us with repentance. I believe repentance is the primary blessing from God. It's not the end of the matter. It's pretty close to the beginning of the matter. And so repentance is a change of heart, a change of mind, a change of direction, a change of inclination. And instead of running from God, we start running to God. And I said, if you ran hard from God, you need to run even harder towards God. So, you know, I think about, you know, clips of movies and things like that, where, you know, there's these two people who feel fondly towards one another and they see one another from a great distance off, and they start running. And a lot of times in the movie, it's in slow motion, and it's basically they are moving slightly faster than a fast walk. You know, it's more kind of a jog, more of a leisurely jog towards one another. Yeah, I'm in a hurry to get there, but that's, you know, if it takes me a few seconds longer, I'm okay with that. I believe that when we put the Word of God before us and our pursuit of God and His Word, I believe we ought to be running as fast as we can. We may not be able to run as fast physically as we once were, but we can be very intentional and very motivated about getting into the arms of the one that we love. So I saw I've seen it a couple of times that there was an artist who had seen a lot of baseball games, and he would paint some of the scenes of these baseball games where a person hits a walk-off home run in baseball. You know, and the playoffs are just around the corner, and so you'll be able to see some baseball playoffs if you're into that. And it shows that this person rounding third and all of the teammates are gathered at home plate, and everybody in the stands is cheering, and the guy's really excited because he's hit the home run. And the reason that it says that he focused on that is in his mind, he sees that that is what it is like for believers when we hear that final summons from Jesus. One day I'm going to hear either Bob come up in the rapture, or Bob, I want you to come into my presence. And as a believer, there's no greater invitation. So I tell our congregation, I remember doing a funeral, and God shared this with me, and that is this. A lot of times we get disappointed when we've been praying for someone to be healed, and then they pass away. And I said, look, if we lived our life and God said, I want you to pray, and we prayed, if God said, I want you to share the gospel with this person, and we did that, if he said, I want you to go to this place and I want you to minister, and we did that in faith. And we did it in obedience. And there was a reward for that. But one day, we're going to reach that time either by rapture or by appointment, that it's appointed unto men once to die. And when Jesus says, Bob, this is your last breath on earth, come into my presence, I want you to know I want to be running like calves released from the stall, as it describes in Malachi chapter 4. I want it to be unhindered, unfettered. I want to be running into his presence, because my future is not in this world. My future is the presence of Jesus. And so as we close up the broadcast here today, if you're a believer, let the statutes of God be part of your regular conversation. Let the covenant promises of God be something that you are familiar with and a lifestyle that you lead, that you don't hate instruction from God, but you love him teaching you, and make sure that the word of God is what propels you into the future, that it is something that you embrace. Don't get to the place where you say, I'm going to ignore the word. That's a recipe for disaster. Putting the word before you is a recipe for success. Have a great day. We'll see you tomorrow here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.